Let's take our Bibles while you're standing, and we'll be turning to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. I'll be reading the first 14 verses of this great passage. Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. I hope you have a red Bible this week. R-E-A-D. Some of you are like, mine's black. I don't know, but I hope it's red. Spend some time reading the Word, and that'll change your life. And when you don't, your life will be changed. I will tell you that. Ezekiel chapter 37, beginning with verse number 1, the Bible said, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down the midst of the valley which is full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said to me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. When I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them. The skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost, and we are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord." Heavenly Father, thank you for your wonderful word. Thank you for this amazing story. And Father, you have something you want to teach us today, and I pray that you'll help us to learn what it is that we need to know. Lord, for those without Christ today, may they meet the God who gives life. With you, Lord, we know there is no other life without you, and we need you, and we pray, Lord, that they will meet you today, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated.
Thank you.
When my wife and I moved to California in 1987, we had to rent an apartment. And those of you who rented apartments, you know what it's like to rent an apartment. In those days, in 1987, you had to put, I think it was a security deposit down. You had to pay the first month and the last month. And so by the time we paid the first month and the last month and the security deposit and everything else, we had nothing left. Can any of you relate to where I'm coming from? All right, great. And I remember when we moved in, my wife and I, we didn't have our children yet. And so we were concerned that we wanted to make sure that we got our security deposit back, because I wanted it back. So we wanted to make sure that, there were no dings on the walls, and we took care of everything, and we didn't break the toilets, and, all the other things that come with moving into an apartment and caring for everything. And so one day, I remember we ran out to the store, we were going to pick up some things, and we came back, and unbeknownst to us, the iron had been left on, and it had fallen off of the ironing board, hot side down onto the carpet. That's what I said. And it burned its way all the way down to the wood. It's a wonder it didn't burn the place down. I guess we got back just in time, and I remember picking up the iron, crying. And I looked at the iron and the big hole in the floor, and all I could see is dollar signs. And I remember thinking, we're going to have to replace all this carpet, kiss the security deposit goodbye, and I'm sure last month is gone, and what am I going to do? And I remember, I was just so down. Didn't know what I was going to do. I had no idea. But there was a friend of mine, who I didn't know this, that by trade, he laid carpet. And I told one of my friends about it, and he called him and said, "Hey, can you call up Rick Stone Street? He needs some help. Maybe you can help him." And he called up, and sure enough, he came over, and guess what he did? He found some extra carpet that was up in a closet. He cut out that burnt piece and replaced it. I walked into the room, and it looked like a brand new piece of carpet. And I said, "Man, praise the Lord for that. Amen." Everything was all taken care of. You know, when things get really bad, things can get really good. That's where the nation of Israel was. Things had gotten really bad. They've been taken captive, and the nation was now, had taken them in, and they had no hope. Their hope was all gone. Everything was gone, and they were like dry bones. And so God did a strange thing. He took the prophet Ezekiel down. He said, "Here's what I want you to do. I want you to preach to a bunch of bones, dry bones." And they were scattered over here in this desert valley. Here they were all around, sun bleached. And he said, "I want you to preach to them." Now, you're talking about having a rough crowd to preach to. They didn't even get a holy grunt out of that crowd. I mean, I've had some dead crowds I preached in my day, but that's really beyond. That takes it all. And that's what Ezekiel was to do, was to go down to preach to that crowd of people. Now, for you and me, we might look at that and think, that's a strange thing that God would tell him to go down. But what God wanted him to do was God wanted him to understand that there's a spiritual lesson in that. And I want to teach you that spiritual lesson today as well. Because that spiritual lesson that's in that passage certainly has application to my Christian life. I mean, because in the surface, if I were to just read the story and say, here's a weird and unusual thing that God did, where he went down, this man preached, bones came to life, and everything goes on. What does that mean to me? You'd miss the story. So I want to help you to understand something. What is God saying to you and me? Well, here it is. Bottom line, the bones, that's who we are. We're the bones. And we're like the nation of Israel, who, if we have gotten to where they are, we could be maybe to that place where our lives have been taken captive by the world or the things of the world.
We could have gotten to the place where, you know, it's just like for us, there's no hope. What hope is it? I mean, things are pretty bad. We live in a horrible society right now. Everything seems to be downward, and you know, I just don't know. I can't seem to get a job, and if I get a job, it never pays enough. I can't seem to get this. I can't seem to get that. I can't seem to do anything right. It seems like for me, everything I touch goes from bad to worse. I don't understand what I'm going to do. I could get to that place. What am I? How can I get back to where I need to be in my Christian life? I mean, after all, I want to walk with God. I want God to be my Savior. I want to live for God, but it seems like there's so many challenges that come. Well, God has some answers for us today. Maybe that's where you are. So I want to help you in your pathway back to where God wants us to be. That's what God is saying to us in this passage. There are three pathways. The first I would write down is the message. There is the message to the pathway. The message is clear, and it's not found in the philosophers of the world and maybe in the movie stars of the world or the music of the world or someplace like that we have a natural tendency to go to. It's not found in the movies of the world. The message is found in the Word of God. If we really want to get life back, if we want to get back to where we need to be, if we want to build our lives up and make all the difference in what we have left here, we need to have the right message. And God had a message for the people. Now look, today, if you're here, God has a message for you. You may have come here by invitation, or you may come here because, you know, this is just what you normally do, or you may come here because you saw the sign out in the front, or maybe someone knocked on your door, or maybe you got a brochure somewhere and you picked it up and said, well, maybe I'll go there. But God actually brought you here because he has a message for you. And that message is life-changing. Because you may find yourself at the end of your rope and not knowing what you're going to do, where you're going to go, or how you're going to be able to handle all this, and what you're going to do with the rest of the time you have left here. What are you going to do? Well, God says that he knows who you are, and he knows where you are. Since God's a creator, he knows exactly what you need. I mean, I've never questioned the fact that God knows what I need. He knows exactly what it would be best for me. He knows my condition. He knows where I am. And I would say, God, hey, by the way, have you forgotten about me down here? Now my flesh may say, yeah, I think God's not giving me enough attention, but the truth of the matter is God knows exactly where I am. But for the nation of Israel, it was a hopeless condition. For them, they had no hope. I mean, the bones are dry, sun bleached at this point. There's no hope for them. You see, that's the condition of a nation who've gotten away from God spiritually. Will they ever get back into their land? They've been taken captive. Will they ever have any real life once again? They had no hope for the future. They had no hope for life itself, and life had become really much nothing more than just a misery to live every day. They wanted God's promises again. So the nation represents man without Jesus Christ. I'm going to be honest with you. In this world, without Jesus Christ, there is no hope. You see, religion can't do it. We have a lot of religion today. And there's a lot of religion you can connect to. Pleasure won't bring that satisfaction in your life. Man, if you want to talk about pleasure, there's pleasure galore. It's all around us. It's at our fingertips. There's no pill that will take care of you. There are some people, I'm so surprised, they're so addicted to prescription drugs, thinking that somehow or another that's going to give you real life, going to make you feel better. I'm going to tell you something. Really what we need, and I'm not discounting or saying that it's not necessary, so don't misunderstand me, but here's what I am saying, that Jesus Christ is life. That's what I am saying. And without him, there's no life. The Bible said it like this, that without him, we'd be in a hopeless condition too. All of us are. We're sinners. We're born sinners. And Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." You see, I'm born a sinner. I have no hope in me. I'm not good enough to work my way up. I can't get better. I can't, you know, somehow or another turn over a new leaf and that's going to change everything. I can't do it. It will not work. Since I'm born that way, the Bible said that as a sinner, that I have a condition that's a sinful condition. The strange thing was that man was not born, was not created that way, but man chose to be that way. You say, what do you mean? In the Garden of Eden. Do you realize how perfect it was in the Garden of Eden? It was absolutely perfect. Man was able to talk to God, and God talked to man. Man had the best of foods. I think there were Snicker bars all over the Garden of Eden. And I think you could just reach up and pull one right off the tree and eat it. And you know what the best part? You never gained an ounce. That sounds good, doesn't it? I mean, it was a perfect environment. Everything was right. The temperature was right. Adam, as he was serving God in the garden, there was no effort to serve. It was a pleasure to serve. But sin came into the world. Because he chose to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that he was forbidden to eat of, because he chose to do that over what he had with God. And when he did, man now goes from being an innocent person to now being a sinner. And the Bible said that because of that, that all of mankind were all born with a sin nature now. And that's a condition that none of us can change. We can't change it because we're good people. We just have this hopeless condition. In fact, Paul gives an indictment in Romans chapter 3 when he says this, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. That's just where we are. We're all sinners. We have a hopeless condition. You see, sin's destructive power is always seeking to destroy our lives, always. But let me remind you of something. As bad as it might be, and as hopeless as man might be in that condition, God majors in impossibilities. That's the good news. The good news is that God majors in impossibilities, and no matter how hopeless and how bad it might be and how ugly that life can get, God says, man, I can make all the difference in the world. There's that hopeful correction. Because the truth of the matter is, that's where man is. And the message is this, that man, yes, man without God is in a hopeless condition, but there's a hopeful correction, because the hopeful correction is found in Jesus Christ. Your sin can be taken care of, that you can be restored once again to the fellowship with God. And we do that through putting our personal faith and trust in the person of Jesus Christ. He offers hope. And for this nation, in verse number 3, he asked the question, can these bones live? And I want to say to you today, can we live? And yes, we can. And it's found in Jesus Christ and him alone. That's the message. Since God is the giver and originator of life, the Bible says in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The Bible said the doctor can't give life, but God can give life. And I'm glad today to report to you that it does not matter what or where you are, how hopeless it might seem, with God all things are possible, the Bible says. and for this nation who is totally away from God. They're like the dead bones, the bones that are dried and sun bleached out in the desert. God says, I have a message for you. Thank God, God sends His message to you today. But the pathway continues in this passage that we look at. There's the first pathway of that of the message, but I want you to notice, second of all, notice the movement of the people. There's a movement. Now, for me, I look at it and I say, man, I don't understand it. And you might be sitting here saying, what do you mean movement? I really don't quite get it. Well, first of all, there's the preaching of the prophet. The preaching of the prophet. God moved into the heart of the prophet to preach the word of God, just like He moves into every man who's called of God to preach. There's the preaching of the prophet. Thank God for a man that will stand and preach the word of God. See, there's a strange thing about preaching. Lots of people don't understand it. They don't get it. They just can't quite comprehend. What is it about preaching? Well, the Bible said, for it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Let me tell you something about preaching. If we're talking about movement now, the movement is for the prophet to preach, amen? But there's another movement in preaching that is not just the man that stands and preaches. The movement is the people that respond to the message. Because let me tell you about preaching. Preaching is not giving information. Any of you ever had this? Have you ever gone and maybe sat in a class and a person taught you something in class? Maybe you even got an A, you walked out and got an A, but it did not change your life. Anyone ever had anything like that happen? You know, like you go to the doctor, and the doctor says, all right, now I'm going to tell you how to take this medicine. Now, you take it 3 times a day, and you take it after each meal. Make sure it's not on an empty stomach. Otherwise, it'll damage your, you know, the lining of your stomach. So you have to make sure you do that and be very careful. Now, here's a document. I want you to sign it. Will you sign it, please? And you sign the document, and you go out, and guess what? You don't do it. You might do it for the first day or two, but then you kind of slip away from it. Or maybe just ignore it altogether. Now, what you have is teaching there. That's teaching. But here's preaching. Preaching is not only telling you what God says, but persuading you to do what God says. You follow what I'm saying? Now, we're used to that if we're parents. Because with parents, we told our kids what we wanted to do, and then we had a little persuader. It's called I know in this modern world they don't believe in that, but in our world they believed in paddles. That was persuading with the information given, right? That persuaded me, that moved me. I mean, if Dad said, carry out the trash, I didn't say, okay, that's information I may or may not want. What he did was he said, okay, let me move you a little bit. Do you realize that's what preaching's all about? Preaching is not just giving information, but preaching is trying to persuade us to respond and move to what God tells us to do. That's the difference. It's convincing us. Absolutely. I mean, because that's what God says. That's why the Bible says that God is pleased with the foolishness of preaching. Because there's the preaching of the prophet, and it's important that it's not just that he gets up there and he just teaches a little, make everybody feel good. But he's persuading us to do what God says. It's, here's what God says, here's what we need to do, let's do it together. But we find the paralysis of the people. Because he was preaching to bones. They're empty of life and flesh. The bones represent the deadness and the complacency of God's people. Kind of shows us how we can get over time. You see, when a man preaches, it's possible to sit and do nothing like dead bones. possible we can get paralysis analysis, if you would. We want to analyze everything, and well, you know, he's got a, you know, I don't know. Paralysis analysis.
God causes the man to preach, and there should be the movement that the people respond. But the bones don't want to respond. They're just going to lay there until God begins to move.
I think the modern church today, unfortunately, is the paralysis has set in. And I'm not necessarily speaking just of our church, but I'm speaking in churches in general. Christianity's paralysis has set in.
We're on spiritual life support, if you would. You know what we need? We need some CPR, really.
We need that CPR that once again will raise people from their sinfulness. And as one man said, he says, we need to preach so that the afflicted can be comfortable and the comfortable can be afflicted. We need to move in such a way to try to help people that we might realize that, hey, God is for real and God is serious and we need to respond to what God says.
You see, that's the movement of the people, but unfortunately, there's the paralysis that's set in.
And so sometimes, Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday after Wednesday and Sunday night after Sunday night, we can go on week in and week out and month out and year out and never do anything and never come to the altar and never get right with God and never respond to what God says, and we can be just like dead bones.
And what God says is we need some people that will say, you know what, it's time for me to arise and get up and do something for God. The pathway to restoration, the pathway to clean up our life and to get everything right is to say, hey, you know what? God's got a message for me, and I need to get serious about that and understand what it says, and I need to move for God.
Amen.
The amazing thing in this passage is the miracle of God. The miracle of God. God did a miraculous thing. That's the third pathway, because I want to tell you this, without God, nothing's going to work.
I want a miracle among the people. I want God to do something in our lives.
The miracle among the people is what we need. Number three. Oh, dear God, send a miracle in 2012.
Dear God, provide that job for that one who's been praying and seeking God. Dear God, please restore those families back that are about to fall apart. Dear God. Dear God, save that lost sinner, that one who has rejected Christ. Save them today, Lord.
Dear God, bring America back to where its roots were.
May we go back to love God like we ought to and honor God in our homes and honor God in our courts and honor God in the White House and honor God in our government buildings and all of those kind of things. Can we put God back once again?
Dear God, do something like we've never done before. We need a miracle among the people. That's what we're looking at here.
You see, what really God is saying to you and where you are is whether you're a student or whether you're a single person or whether you are a senior who have kids with struggles and all of those kind of things, as hopeless as it might look, God is the answer. He can do a miracle. And some might be sitting here saying, boy, that's what I need. That's what he majors in. Because the truth matters, if you could fix it, you would have already fixed it. Let me tell you, I might shock you, no man in the White House is going to fix the situation we're in. What we need is a miracle from a God Almighty. That's what's going to turn this nation around. That's what's going to turn our communities around. That's what's going to turn our lives around, is a miracle from God. We know that. We can relate to that. There's no doubt about it. And what God is saying to this nation, who they're nothing but dry bones, and they haven't listened, and they're not responding, and now they're taken captive by the enemies, and their lives are just without any hope at all, God says, I'm here. I haven't left yet. And God says to you and me, I'm here. What God is telling us, number one, is there's a potential of the Lord that's there for every person who is willing to respond to Him. We're reminded over and over again that God is well able to do exceeding great things. The Bible says it like this in Ephesians chapter 3. Now to Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us, that is God who is able to do those things. You know what God is saying? God's saying, hey, I'm willing to do it. I can do it. This is a perfect illustration of the life-changing power that God can use and do in our lives. He can do it. He can. One person said this, only God can turn a mess into a message. Only God can turn a test into a testimony. Only God can take a trial and turn it into a triumph. Only God can take a victim and turn it into a victory. Only God can take a problem and turn it into a prayer and a praise. See, today, it is God is our answer. Amen. And too long we've turned to every place else but God, and what God is saying is, now give me a chance. Let me be the resurrecting God that I was in the nation of Israel. Let me be for your life today. You see, a miracle among the people. God's our potential. But then we have the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the amazing part. The prophet is told that he's to preach to the wind, that the wind might blow across the bones. And guess what happens when the wind blows across the bones? The bones start getting together when you hear the preaching. I don't know if the song, that song, what is it? The jaw bones connected to the whatever. You guys remember that? You were taught that when you were a little girl, little boy? I was taught that. Maybe it was based on this passage. I don't know if it was or not. Sounds good though, doesn't it? I thought I'd sing it for you, but then I wanted you to stick around for at least the end of the service. But can you imagine? They just start, you know, you're preaching away, and then just bones start coming together. And then before long, flesh gets on the bones, and boy, I tell you what, I just keep on preaching, man. I just really get with it. But I'm going to tell you something. The bones won't be any good, and the bodies won't be any good without the Spirit of God in them. Otherwise, they're nothing more than dead bodies lying there. And you see, dead bodies without the Spirit of God is still dead. And the prophet preached, and the Spirit of God moved in those bodies, and they rose up. What we need is, we need the moving of the Holy Spirit of God once again in our lives so we can rise up for God and do something for Him.
Amen.
It's the power of God. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's God, the Holy Spirit, that moves. See, the Holy Spirit is instrumental in giving life. In Genesis chapter 1, this Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. What? The Spirit of God, who was that? The Holy Spirit of God. And as the Holy Spirit of God began to move upon the water, guess what? Life came. And if you're here today without Jesus Christ, what you need is the moving of the Holy Spirit of God that He might give you life. And if you have life, maybe you need the Holy Spirit of God to rework in your life once again. Because what happens is then resurrection occurs.
See, CPR. We need it once again. But I'll tell you something. You know what I found? It was kind of funny. I was with some firefighters, and they were paramedics, and they were telling me that when someone collapses and you start CPR on them, they were telling me that it's only about a 5% success rate. And we all think, you know, it's almost 100% success rate. It's only 5%. That's not much. But I'll tell you what, for the 5%, I'd do it. But can I tell you this, with God, it's 100%. Spiritual CPR is 100% every time. I mean, God can raise us. God can make all the difference in the world. And you might say, well, how does this all work? Well, the songwriter really said it very well. Because today you might be in need of spiritual CPR. That might be where you are. Because every person in here, you need God like I need God. You may have found yourself a little complacent, those of you who know need the Lord, but you're too comfortable. And what God is saying is, you know what? I might move you from comfort to be uncomfortable so that I can work in your life once again. Maybe you've lost some hope. But the songwriter tells us what we need to do, and I love this song. Here's what he says. Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting He passed, and we follow Him there, or us sin hath no more dominion, for more than conquerors we are. His word shall not fail you, He promised. Believe Him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, His perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. No hope? Despondent? How am I going to make it? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Can God give us hope? Absolutely. If there's breath in your body and life in your body, there's a God in heaven, and God can take care of it. And I say to you, what we need to do, we need a spiritual resurrection again in America. We need a restoration once again. We need a removal of that burnt spots out of our lives and let God put a brand new piece of carpet there. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. God wants to do it. God wants to do it. But the choice is yours. Will you turn to Him today? Heavenly Father,